Okay, here we are on Christmas Eve, and we're studying in the Sealed Book of Moses, chapter 3, verse 11. I'll read the couple verses. And as soon as God had cast out the man of Edom, putting cherubim of God and a flaming sword around to keep the way of the tree of life, then the Lord provided this priesthood to man in order to choose between good and evil. Otherwise, without the priesthood, man's way will be tortuous, and his thoughts and inclinations of his heart will be sensual and devilish most of the time. I think it's interesting. I'm going to pause there. The verse we just read before that talked about how the tree of life was not part of this earthly existence. Reach the tree of life in verse 10, which is in the paradise of God beyond the thresholds of this mortal existence. And so in verse 11, where it talks about putting cherubim and flaming sword to guard the tree, way of the tree of life, is that the same as saying death guards it? I don't know. That's an interesting, I don't know if I understand what it's saying there. Any other comments? Everybody else is muted.
Well, I don't have a comment, Brother Russell, but it is it is interesting. I don't know what to say other than if you were if someone was to partake of the tree of life when they were not worthy, it seems like the Lord will it will prevent that.
All
I
right, and
don't
then
know.
verse 12, since these words concerning this priesthood of the Son of God are those that the Lord told Moses, that they are pure and true, and that they are not to be shown to anyone until the Lord orders a Moses in the last days, that he may reveal these words only to those who believe. Now, we've generally not been looking at all the footnotes. We may want to look at some of these. It's up to you.
Yeah, I can remember this verse when we when the sealed book first was came forth. There was a group of people in Independence that read through it sort of as a reading group. And I remember this reading this verse that always stuck with me that said these words would be revealed only to those who believe. And yet, and so I had a conflict in my mind about sharing the sealed book, particularly in the format that we have. It's open to anyone in the world, but it was the Lord's intent that it do be shared because he said in other revelations that you would demarcate the limit of your territory according to your diligence and heed in sharing the sealed book. And yet I'm hesitant to perhaps this means the mysteries, I mean, and the full understanding that we're talking about, because most people who read the sealed books will close it and say there's nothing in it. They don't see anything of value in it. So I don't know. It's still a bit of in my mind as to how to deal with this statement as then the other statements that say we need to share the sealed book with everyone. So
Yes, indeed. I'm looking at those footnotes. They deal mostly with the idea of Moses, a later day Moses. The Moses 4:32 kind of deals with this sealed aspect. And these are the words which I spake unto my servant Moses, and they are true, even as I will. And I have spoken them unto you. See, thou show them unto no man until I command you, except to them that believe. Amen. So that seems to echo what this verse says. Yeah, it's difficult in a world where information flow is so easy and confusion is so easy to generate that just putting the truth out there can lead to conflict and not really drawing near to the Lord.
Well, in particular, the statement, I have to look it up. It said, there's nothing more sacred to be revealed to man or mankind than, I believe it's, we're talking about the names, the knowledge about the names of God. And I mean, you can, you, somebody who doesn't believe can read that and think nothing of it, yet it is. Yeah, I mean, it's just that we have to have the right feelings in our hearts to even perceive what he's talking about. So, and yet it is revealed. And so those who believe the sealed book have to let the Holy Spirit unveil the mysteries. And that's the marvelous part. That's the miracle of the sealed book. Is to transform those statements into, you know, life. They're not just dead words on a page, you know. It's everything. It's nothing more sacred. We've got that here, but it's not the words. It's the concept. It's the feelings. It's the spirit behind it that you have to let the words. The Holy Spirit has to unlock the words somehow. I don't know. Thank you.
I'm reminded of when John Pratt first read the Book of Mormon. He was a teenager and was told he should read it and pray about it. So he read it. He read it all the way through. And he goes to the teacher the next week and says, I read it. It's dumb. It's not true. And then the teacher asked him, well, did you pray about it? And he says, no. He says, well, you got to pray about it. And so every time, every day you read it, you need to pray about it. And so he the next time he read it and he prayed about it and he commented that that he wished that the plates were available in the museum to look at. And the voice told him that wouldn't help any. And he realized that's right, it wouldn't. And he got a witness and realized the truth of the Book of Mormon. And so the same thing applies here to the sealed book and the Revelations, really. Good morning, Mark. Glad to have you with us.
Good morning.
So we just read the sealed book. Chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Des, would you like to read 13 and 14? You guys, it looks like you came and went, and I hope you're back with us, although it looks like you're frozen now. Maybe we'll pick Mark. Would you like to read verses? Are you there? Can you read 13 and 14?
Yeah, give me a sec. I'm just pulling up.
Okay.
I am also the book of the Menha people.
Baki, would you like to read it? We can come back to Mark.
Sorry, what chapter were we on?
We're on Sealed Book of Moses, chapter 3, 13 and 14. Go ahead, Bakia.
And in this, all the wisdom of God is manifested, for behold, all things were made according to the wisdom of him that knoweth all things. And if Adam and Eve had not transgressed, then they would have remained in the Garden of Eden in an immortal state, and yet would be with their perceptions wrapped in the innocence of the spirit, which would not allow them to have children and would never have joy because they did not know misery, not being able to decide for themselves the way of goodness because they did not know evil.
Isn't that interesting? How we have to have misery.
Sorry?
How we have to have misery. We should be thankful for misery.
Yes.
Because then it lets us know about joy.
Yeah, I'm not sure if, yeah.
Not sure you want to be thankful of misery?
Well, it says here, I do not know misery because I don't have children.
It kind of
I
does.
Do.
It kind of does say that, but I don't think it exactly says that.
That's a good one, though.
But as I mentioned earlier, you know, there's the misery of loss that comes with love, but we can all know misery, I'm sure.
Yes. But it's interesting, their perceptions wrapped in innocence of the spirit. Brother Keckler was just talking about concepts, you know, and I think the tree of life, which is, the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So I think that is the knowledge that you do not get for free. You have to do something for it, you know. It's the knowledge of God, I think, and that's why the priesthood is necessary to and it also says it here, the Lord provided the priesthood to man not to keep way of the garden of the tree of life. It's in verse 11, but that's a big help to get to that knowledge, I think. That was a thought I just had before all this. But so those perceptions, human minds, like the eternal round, like even people who read the sealed book were like, yeah, eternal round, it's a weird concept, you know. So people have to, their minds have to, or our minds have to get used to those concepts. And I think all this knowledge is helping with that and refining.
Yeah, I don't think I understand how the priesthood solves the problem like it talks about there in verse 11. Not the priest in man's ways would be torturous, and his thoughts and inclinations are to be essential devilish for most of the time.
Well, the priesthood, you get the priesthood to be able to choose between good and evil. Do you have that experience or not?
The priesthood provides the opportunity to choose. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it says in verse 11, then the Lord provided this priesthood to man in order to choose between good and evil. So if it's done right, then a man with the priesthood will choose the good, I think. But, we're all human, of course.
I'll wait till sister's done.
that was it.
Okay. The priesthood, the Lord gives the priesthood clear back in the days of Moses and before. It has to do with the covenant. And priesthoods are like ministers of the covenant. God made covenants more than just a promise to people. He said, you know, if you keep my commandments, you know, you'll have these blessings. But it's a covenant that it has power within itself. And of course, the Book of Mormon, the Book of Mormon came forth. It's restores the knowledge of the covenants, particularly to the house of Israel, that they might know that they're not of the, they may know of the promises made to God to the people through the covenants. And what the restoration's doing is fulfilling the covenants through the church. And the priesthood is the heavenly authority to administer the covenants. And without the covenants, it's like the Sabbath day. That's a covenant because certain things that the Lord said about the Sabbath day. If you honor the Sabbath, then there's great blessings to follow. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper, of course, is connected with that and says, keep yourself clean from one Sabbath to another, that it's through the things provided in the priesthood, the authority to administer heavenly things, spiritual blessings. That's what keeps you able to be clean from one Sabbath to another and avoid the evil and the pitfalls and the misery, and to know that joy and to fulfill the mission of the church. And so I kind of lost the point of focus of what the question was, but excuse my rambling, but I believe that's all connected there.
Yeah, I think you did good in bringing out the covenant aspect. It's the covenants that really tie us into avoiding the sensual nature of man and the renewing of those from week to week as well. And that those covenants are brought because of the priesthood. So I think that's what you're saying, if that's a summary.
Yes. Yes.
And Australia's back with us again. You guys are...
Yes. Yeah, we've got some poor signal on the internet here.
Yeah.
It's been very bad.
Yeah.
So we'll see how we go.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. We're
very grateful to be part of the connection, and we'll do our best.
If you're with us for a minute, can you read verse 15 of...
Verse 15, yeah.
Verse chapter 15, 3 of the Seal Book of Moses.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. But Adam fell, fulfilling the requirements of the Father to be fruitful and to fill the earth with his offspring. And the priesthood of the Son of God exists to make the people of the earth come to understand the plan of salvation and allow the children of man to know how to wait for the Son of God, who will come in the fullness of time to redeem from the fall those who believe in him, in order to become free from the yoke of sin and death, so that they may return again to the presence of the Father.
I find it interesting when that starts, that Adam fell, fulfilling the requirements. Almost as if it's he was supposed to fall, and we know that he was, but it's stated more strongly there than I've seen it before.
Yep. Yeah. My understanding of that was that the very reason for the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf was for the ability for us to be able to come back into the presence of God.
Yeah, but he was talking about Adam.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Adam fell, fulfilling the requirements.
Right. Yeah. I see that. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's sort of at the background of that. That's
but
my
answer. Without him falling, we wouldn't be able to
come back.
Yeah. None of us would be able to return
to the presence of God.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
I guess from that point of view, I can see it.
Okay, Mark, you want to read verses 16 and 17?
Yeah, I had a comment.
Go ahead.
It says, who will come in the fullness of time to redeem from the fall those who believe in him, in order to become free from the yoke of sin of death, sin and death. So I'm thinking in relation to Matthew, where it says, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart." So I always thought of like which yoke are we giving up to take his yoke upon him? And I'm assuming that's the yoke of sin and death that we're giving up to take his, which is life and freedom, I guess.
I think it's a different yoke. I think it's the yoke if you don't take on, join the yoke with Christ. This is the yoke you end up with automatically.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the yoke we're born right. into. And then we take his yoke instead of the sin and death.
Right. I think so. I'm just looking at the footnote here. 2 Nephi 19, 26. Nope, that's not great.
Yeah, I consider the yoke of Christ that like the commandments or the the commandments that he gives us. I think that is what the yoke means, what he says, what Christ says.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because it's all part of the plan of salvation.
Mm.
Yeah, the verses in 2 Nephi, I think, kind of fill it out. I can read those.
Yeah, thanks.
And after Adam and Eve had partaken of the forbidden fruit, they were driven out of the Garden of Eden to fill the earth. And they have brought forth children, yea, even the family of all the earth. And the days of the children of men were prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. Wherefore their state became a state of reprobation, and their time was lengthened, according to the commandments which the Lord God gave unto the children of men. For he gave commandments that all men must repent, for he showed unto all men that they were lost because of the transgression of their parents. And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden, and all things which were created must have remained in the same state in which they were after they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children, wherefore they would have remained in the state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell, that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. So it's kind of retelling the same words that we just got from Sealed Book of Moses.
Yeah.
And so,
okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mark. I'll wait till you're done.
No, I was just about to read. So.
Oh, let me just say then, Jesus is the redeemer of all mankind. All mankind are redeemed from the fall by way of the atonement of Jesus Christ. However, all mankind are not saved. Only those that believe in the only begotten Son of the Father and are baptized and take the name of Jesus upon them. So Jesus is the redeemer of everyone, but the savior of a few, I suppose.
Okay.
Okay, 16. However, since the sin of Adam resulted in the degeneration of the divine nature of man, so now with his mortal and fallen nature, no descendant of Adam would have strength to resist the wiles of the devil. For how much live in the world? That's a weird phrasing.
Yes.
For how much live in the world of humanity? That is, in obeying God the Father, Adam subjected all his offspring under the influence of Satan. With this, man would be condemned to the bondage of sin and death forever.
You said obeying, but it should be disobeying God the Father.
Disobeying, sweet mother.
Just a
minor detail.
Yeah.
you want to read 17 also?
Oh, I mean, I can try. Maybe I can redeem myself. It was then that God proposed to Adam that he would provide a deliverer from the bondage of sin and death, the designated seed. And beside that promise, God appointed Adam to be the first priest according to the order of his son. Because the gospel began to be preached from the beginning, being declared by the holy angel sent from the presence of God to Adam, and by his own voice, and by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's one thing that I, for some reason, never thought of as a kid. It's like the gospel was always on the earth, but I always think of like everything, like the law of Moses was everything before Jesus Christ. That makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah, may I comment? It's interesting, people in the congregation, if you say, quote to me the first verse of the chapter of the first chapter of John, and from the King James it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and so on. But in the inspired version, it says, in the beginning was the gospel preached. And it's an interesting difference there. So if you want to compare 1 John chapter 1, or no, John chapter 1, verse 1, with the inspired version, it states right there that in the beginning was the gospel preached. Thank you.
Very interesting.
I want to just mention something about the verse you stumbled on verse 16, where it says live. If I take the Portuguese and translate it, it's because he lived in the world of humanity. So there's some things that could be cleaned up in our English.
Yeah. That makes a lot more sense, but
I was just thinking about the priesthood and how it got into the world, because we were talking about Moses, and because Moses got it from Jethro, his father-in-law, and I was like, but how did he get it, you know? But it says here, there's my answer. God appointed Adam to be the first priest according to the order of his son. So from there on, it probably went forward, but not like in the LDS church, you know, when you're 18, you get the Melchizedek priesthood like automatically.
Yeah.
I think they approached it in that time a little bit different because it was so sacred.
Yeah, it came through the flood, through the sons of Noah. And Abraham got it from Seth, who is Melchizedek. And then he had two sons. And I think Jethro got it through the...
Wait, Seth is Melchizedek?
Yes.
Wait, Seth, the son of Adam?
No, it's not Seth. It's the son of Noah. Shep.
Salem.
Say what?
Oh shit! I don't know.
Shem, yeah. Shem would be okay. Melchizedek. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Okay, I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. And then the sons of Abraham, who won the Arabs are descended through. I'm losing it right now too.
Ishmael.
Ishmael, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where Jethro got it, is my understanding.
Okay.
Oh. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So we're about an hour if we want to continue going, or if we want to sing and be done.
Can I just make a comment, Brother Russell?
Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. I when we were talking back, it took me a while to find it. But in the Inspired Version, and also in Moses in the Pearl of Great Price, there's a good account of it in chapter 5 of Moses, about the beginning here, and it says, I'll just read a little passage here. And then the angel spake, saying, "This thing is a similitude of the sacrifice of the only begotten of the Father, which is full of grace and truth. Wherefore thou shalt do all that thou doest in the name of the Son, and thou shalt repent and call upon God in the name of the Son forevermore." But it goes on more about explaining what happened in the garden with the tree of life, and what happened with the fall, and also how Satan approached them and said, in verse 13, it says, "And Satan came among them, saying, I am also the Son of God. And he commanded them, saying, believe it not. And they believed it not, and they loved Satan more than God," and blah, blah, blah. This is when they were being pulled, you know, into to try and deflect the presence of God away from them. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I just thought I'd comment about that. There's some good reading in there if you want to follow that up later. Yeah. Thank
Where
you.
Was that, Des? What did you read?
It's from the Pearl of Great Price in Moses.
Okay.
And that's the same as the...
Yeah, chapter 5 is probably worthy of a read there that would align with some of the stuff you've been talking about this morning, yeah.
Yeah,
and in the Bible, the inspired
version has the same.
Chapter 5, verse 13 is the same as Darren just
four.
Read in the Pearl of Great Price.
Yeah, it's 4:13.
Sorry, 4:13, yeah. And Satan came among them saying, "I am also a son of God."
Yeah. Anyway, it's worthy of a read anyway.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to stop the recording.